At this time, I'd like to introduce someone who is has become very close to us and to our community, and he led us in a retreat yesterday, Mr. Paul Karros. He is from Minnesota, and he has done a lot with his life, and he has become well known in many different areas, especially in on Wall Street and in the world of finance, in particular, becoming the world's most renowned expert on airlines and questions about airlines and finance with airlines. They go to Paul. He's been on CNN, he's been on Fox, he's been on all places, and at this point in his life, he's really concentrated on sharing the Lord's love and grace, how it has affected him and his life, and how it can affect all of us too. And so I heard Paul speak last summer, I think it was, at the convention, and I asked him to come down and spend a little time with us. So he led us in a retreat yesterday. He's going to speak to us now. And then this evening, we're going to go to West Palm Beach, St. Catharines on Southern Boulevard. And we're going to have the Sunday of Orthodoxy Vespers at St. Catharines. And Paul will be the main speaker there as well. So I'd like to introduce Paul to you. Paul was diagnosed with, can you say it, Paul?
Yeah, retinitis pigmentosa.
Retinitis pigmentosa when he was 8 years old. And here's the podium right in front of you. And so, and I've got a mic in front of you too.
Great, thank you, Father. Okay.
You're good.
Good, okay. Good morning, everybody. As you can tell, he didn't finish the story that I am 99% blind. So I can't really see you, but I can feel you. So what a glory to be here today on Orthodoxy Sunday when all of our forefathers and mothers, and you notice Father said it was actually a woman, Empress Theodora, who kind of reinstated the icons, both confessors and martyrs. This day where we really understand that icons are so important, both liturgically here in the church as well as in our homes, to have prayer and devotion in our homes. Yesterday we had an incredible day. It was such a pleasure for me to get to know so many of you and to spend some time and getting to know you in our retreat and even afterwards, some of you. And we had a great discussion where I was able to tell you about my life story and some of the suffering I had in this journey to blindness, both as a young boy, but also as a professional on Wall Street. And for those of you that weren't there, it's okay because I'm going to give you a little highlight of what we talked about. And in your weekly bulletin, if you would pull out, for those of you that have it, there's going to be a document in there that I'm going to be referring to. It's got three diagrams. So Lent, we're just about to enter the second week of Lent. And Lent is such an incredible opportunity for us to take a look at our lives, to pause, to really examine what might be out of whack or what might need a little attention. And to do that, we are going to use a temple analogy, like a physical building, like a temple. And you'll see in your documents there, for those of you that have it, it's a diagram of like a Parthenon-looking building. I'm 100% Greek, so of course I picked a Greek-looking, but you could also say Roman-looking, or like those of you we talked yesterday in Baalbek in Lebanon, which have very similar, powerful temples. But the idea here is that every human person is a temple. And this is used in the scriptures and in by the fathers as well. The first to actually use this analogy was our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of John, where he says, "In 3 days destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it." He says, "Destroy this temple, forgive me, and in 3 days I will rebuild it." And of course, the Jews thought he was talking about the Solomon of Temple, which took decades and decades and decades to build. But he was actually referring to himself, his own body. Destroy this temple, the crucifixion, and in 3 days I will rebuild it, the resurrection. And St. Paul goes on in Corinthians to also use the temple analogy, where he says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that you, each one of us, are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Theotokos, she was the first to be the temple because she contained God. So that means the Holy Spirit lives in you and he lives in me. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, if you take a look at that first diagram, and we talked about this yesterday, it's very fascinating to think about. When you go to build any structure, the first thing that must be built is the foundation. In fact, the foundation sets the tone, doesn't it? For any building, the foundation. And we talked about in Florida, if you build, you have to have a foundation that can handle hurricanes, right? And if you build in California, you have to have a foundation that can handle an earthquake. And I said yesterday, if you build in Minnesota, where I'm from, it has to go deep enough. That's why we have basements in Minnesota. The foundation has to go way into the ground because the cold gets so cold, 15, 20 below on a regular basis, the earth freezes and shifts. And if it's not deep enough to get below the frost line, the house will collapse. Well, it is this case in life as well. We must be very purposeful about what our foundations are going to be. We will choose something as a foundation. And what I'm proposing to you is during this Lent to take a little time to reassure and recommit that your foundation is going to be the foundation, which is our life in Christ. So if you look at that depiction, you'll see that foundation is our life in Christ. It's becoming holy. It's literally this whole process of being transformed by Christ, that slowly, slowly we become people of sacrifice, humility, and love. This is our foundation. And there are many layers in that foundation which you can look at there. The scriptures are part of it. And you know, oh, it's okay, don't worry. I love children, by the way, don't worry. So there are many Christian confessions that will only put the scriptures as the foundation. But for us Orthodox Christians, it's inclusive of the scriptures, but it's far more than that. It also is our fathers and mothers and the saints. It is the traditions of the church. It's the liturgical life. What we're doing right here today is part of your foundation. This is part of you strengthening your foundation, receiving the sacraments, fasting, praying at home, and even our communal life with each other. Do you know the fathers say that community, being here, not only here on Sunday, but to encourage us to meet outside of Sundays, to build real relationships with each other. This is part of our foundation from an Orthodox perspective. And we truly believe that if we live the life of the church, if we receive the sacraments, if we do some of the ascetical disciplines like fasting and reading our scriptures, that things start to happen in our souls. And that very top layer, if you look at the top layer of that foundation on that diagram, it's actually the acquisition of the virtues. You become a godly person. By God's grace, he does this in us. The fruits come out and you become a person of humility, sacrifice, and love. And then we have these incredible pillars of life. And these pillars are the responsibilities or the activities that we all have in our lives. And what's cool is they make your life complete. It's actually where you work out our salvation is in these activities, whether it's our marriages or our work or our friendships or our families of origin, where we come from, or our money, whatever it happens to be. And St. John Chrysostom says that those pillars need to be cemented to that foundation. Isn't that beautiful? Are your pillars cemented to your foundation? Is your marriage informed by Christ? Is the way you approach your work approached by Christ? Do we do it with excellence? Do we do it with commitment, with patience, with loyalty? To use our gifts, to offer encouragement to those around us. This is a work pillar cemented to Christ. And we can do that with each of these pillars. It's quite beautiful. And then, lifelong, we build this beautiful temple. And now that Father did his sermon, we got to put some windows in that temple. Because that light will shine forth from you as your temple becomes whole. Now, I want to say in my life, and Father referred to it, I had a 35-year career on Wall Street. I feel very blessed. It was an incredible career, and I feel very blessed to have done it. But for my first decade or two, I got way out of whack. I became a true workaholic. And those second two diagrams is more depictive of what happened to me during that time. The Lord was always important to me, but he took a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, maybe tenth priority in my life. And so I tried to do everything through my work pillar. That's that tall one. And of course, a house could not stand if you had one pillar real tall and everything else trying to survive. Or worse yet, and I really like the laying down, I actually took the work pillar out. I laid it down on the ground and I said, okay, that's my foundation. I'm to build everything on my work pillar. And it didn't work. My life imploded. I really went through a very difficult time in the mid-1990s. Self-imposed problems because of losing what my real foundation needed to be. And that began a rebuilding process. And I've been rebuilding ever since. Because, you know, it's lifelong. This movement to become holy and to have a life that glows to others from the inside out, this is a lifelong journey. And it doesn't necessarily have to be work. In our culture today, we brainstormed yesterday in the retreat, there are other things in our culture that can take you over to be tempting to pull out the pillar and lay it down. Maybe it's health. Everything's about my health, and I'm going to build my whole life on great health. Or maybe it's money. I'm going to pull the finance pillar out, lay it down, and everything's going to relate to my money. These things will not stand. They will not stand the storms of life. And the storms of life will come. We all have them. It may be a loss of job. It may be financial stress. It may be we have a divorce or mental illness or addiction in our families or ourselves. These storms of life do come. And if we have a foundation in Christ, we can always rebuild. We can always stand. We can always struggle with His help to stand against the earthquakes or the hurricanes or even the slow seeping frost line that may hit us in our lives. So during this Lent, may this be a time where we can examine our temples. And if there's one or two pillars that are very weak and it's been eating at you and it's been something that you've really wanted to work on, this is the time to say, maybe I need a little attention to my marriage or to my finances or to something going on at work. Whatever it might be, that this is the time to open up to someone else. Come talk to Father. Talk to your loved ones, and maybe pay a little attention and talk about what we might do to improve that pillar. And if there's a pillar that we have been spending all of our time and life on so extremely that we haven't just made it a great strong pillar, we've maybe pulled it out as a foundation, then it's time just to put it back as a pillar and reestablish our foundation in Christ. And that way then, in Lent, this is the period where your temple, your children's temple, your family's temple, and all of us coming together as the temple that we are here, will be strengthened, and that we can then glow with that light through the windows that Father was talking about by the Lord's light shining through us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. The Lord's blessing be with you all. Christ is in our midst.